Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Welcome to the Bulldogs Fans Podcast. Another week, and you guessed it, another disappointing loss. The season just can't come to an end quick enough for the boys. I'm Scott, and I'm joined by Matt. How are you, mate?
Good, good. It's good to see another quiet week of Bulldogs not being in the media this week.
Very good one. But it feels like some of the players have got their eye on the end of season trip or Mad Monday. Maybe Mad Monday is not an official thing anymore, but the end of year activities. Disappointing loss against Manly. I suppose there was a patch of them scoring points, but too little too late. Some lack of effort areas again, but never in it, really.
It really was a end of season game, wasn't it? Two teams outside the eight and no chance of making it. Picture that type of game in your head, and that's what we got. I guess the biggest disappointing part of it for me, let's jump straight into that result. The biggest disappointing part of that for me was, I think, again, the first 10 minutes or so, we were completely on top of them. We got a nice try through short side play by Averillo and Wilson that led to Corey Waddell backing up and scoring a try to give us a 6-0 lead. Reed Marnie drops the ball over the try line, and there was another occasion we could have got a third try all within that 10 minutes. We got those chances and got to 18-0. We're playing against a team that's not going to be able to make the eight. Maybe they drop their heads a bit, you know, and it's a totally different game. But we only take one of those chances. We only get 6 points on the board and merely hit back and take control.
What is it? Is it confidence thing, or again the ability of not just defending, things are going your way, and things are going your way is that not saying a referee's call, but Reed in another game probably scores that try. Or last year when he's wearing a Parramatta jersey gets over the line, but this year in a Bulldogs jersey who's not making finals falls short and knocks, loses the ball. But just the lack of, it's been the season really hasn't been like a resilience. We're averaging 32 points a game against us, and there's a 42-point scoreline. There's a lot of those scorelines going against us. Yes, we're scoring a bit more points, but it doesn't mean anything when the points we're leaking are much higher than has been previous years. So it's just a lack of resilience, I guess, and desire. Look, but
the defense is obviously not acceptable by an NRL team, obviously. And that's been probably the biggest problem all year. But we haven't had a lot of luck this year, have we? I don't remember too many occasions where we've gone, oh, that situation was lucky, or got a lucky win there or something like that. It hasn't been a lot of luck. Even the bounce of the balls this year feels like another team, the ball bounced right up to someone's chest. Ours bounced forward another 30 metres and gives away a 7-tackle set. And that may be just the old blue and white eyes and me, Scotty, but it does feel that way.
But yeah, the defence is attitude. The old saying, defence is attitude, and it hasn't been up to standard at all this season. Suppose it goes into a talking point a little bit later, because we're going to talk about the Bulldogs and Seagulls game. But goes into what's kind of happening at the Bulldogs behind the scenes, or what accusations and stuff. But what I found was disappointing was there was a final home game of the year. It was our first home game in a long time. And yes, we had the home game in Bundaberg a few weeks. That was still even a few weeks prior. But that's not really a home game. The players wouldn't see it as a real home game. So the first home game, I thought it was the final home game of the year. The old saying, you know, some teams, they play the grand final and have their grand final. I was hoping that was going to be us, the grand final moment for us, and we're going to win that game and just, that was going to be our finish to the season. On a high, yes, we've obviously got the one more game, and we'll talk about the final game for the NRL squad this weekend as well, a bit later in the podcast. But I was hoping for that. Like, you look at the Tigers-Dolphins game a few weeks, or a week ago or so, Tigers' final home game of the year. Yes, the Tigers had to pull a miracle out, but it just felt like the whole time they were making sure that was the grand final moment, wasn't it? That was their way of, you know, thanking the fans and those who came in to watch them play. They got a very lucky win, but they constantly kept themselves in the game for that moment to do that. Again, I was hoping that would be our moment, but it's not. So we're going to try to do something this weekend away from home.
Yeah, hopefully they can. But yeah, look, even at halftime, it wasn't that. Stay off this game at the moment. It wasn't that big a difference, was it? 16-6 at halftime. Again, one of those tries was right on the siren as well. So we stopped that. It's 12-6. And we go on and score 18 second half points. So the second half was open footy for sure. But yeah, ended up on the wrong side of that ledger again. Mainly clearly a better team, unfortunately, hurts to say. Cherry Evans, I thought, was amazing as well. Hurts to say again. but yeah, merely too good for the Dogs. A couple of standouts though, Scotty. Player of the Year awards. Let's go into that from this week. Let's start off with your number two.
Yeah, my number two, Young Gun, who I think is that a shining light, been a shining light to the season, sorry, for the Bulldogs, is Blakey Wilson.
Yep.
And I'll go rattle out his stats, but first I'll say how he has the most amazing hair full-time after wearing a headgear after 80 minutes is another thing too, which is worthy of points, I think, it's in within itself, having still the great hair. But 201 run meters, 32 post-contact meters, 6 tackle breaks, 3 line breaks, 2 offloads, 8 tackles in the game. What more can a winger do? Their team.
Yeah, it's good to. He's definitely been a shining light of the year. He gets my 1 point as well, which gives him a bonus point. He jumps to 4 points for the match, which doubles his tally of the year on the leaderboard. But yeah, he's definitely been a shining light, hasn't he? Really good to watch. Really smart player as well. Combination wise, with Averillo, I thought they had some nice touches together on the weekend at different points. Yeah, he's one of the players that can, at the end of the year, hold his head up high and probably say he got out of the season what he needed or what he dreamt of.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's staying put. He might be one of those players who might jag a wing spot still next year. Might be a starting winger, you know, value for money, know you're going to get. And I think a little bit more confidence in defence, you know.
Well, it will be interesting to see the makeup of the positions 1 to 5 next year, won't it?
Yeah.
There's talk that Crichton will be Crichton was the first choice fullback. There's talk that may have changed now to Taff. I guess it's up in the air. I guess they're fighting for it in the off season, right?
So maybe Hayes Curran gets it.
Might be a back and forth thing between those two players. We can talk about Hayes later in the upcoming.
No, I was going to say it would be very funny that he secures a fullback spot with those two.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was just
who gets the center spots, who gets the wing spots. It could be flipping and flopping throughout the off season, so you never know. But worst case scenario for Blake Wilson is his reserve grade winger and he's first up, isn't he? There's an injury to one of the back five, he's first up, so he's put himself in a really good position there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Let's we'll just finish you off. Scotty, 1 point on the weekend.
Goes to a try scorer, the first try scorer of the game against his old club, Corey Waddell. He played 80 minutes. Like I said, got the try, got a try assist as well. 19 runs, sorry, 180 meters. The man, go back on stats, he will always crank over 100. Even in a disappointing performance for the club, he'd be one of the forwards who can only hold his head up. One of the forwards, 44 post contact meters, 4 tackle breaks, 1 line break, an offload, and 30 tackles. The man's doing one of his best seasons to date. Always an effort player. But go back, and like I think you made the good point that, you know, he's playing probably career-best footy. Unfortunately for a team who's not winning, so he's not getting noticed for it. He plays for Penrith, Corey, and he's doing those stats every week in, week out, or someone like the Broncos or, you know, Melbourne or whatever, someone that's up for, or Newcastle even, who are on the up. I reckon Corey Waddell gets a bit of notice on his work. So unfortunately, he's playing for a team who's probably in the worst form in the competition so far as a whole.
Yeah, it was hard for me to leave Waddell off off my list, but my 2 points, I went to Jake Averillo.
Which was, going to be my highlighted player, but I'll let you. Yeah.
Well, I haven't got any stats, so you can rack them off if you got them. But yeah, I just thought Jake Averillo, whether he was playing centre for most of the game, he did chime in at fullback a couple of times, but wherever he was, he's just a class player. I think he'd be a player that we're going to miss dearly going forward with losing him to the Dolphins. But just all class for me, Scotty. That's why I've gone 2 points for him. But yeah, like I said, if you've got any stats there, fire away.
Well, the stats are going to tell you one thing, what you said, class. So only the 6 runs for 107 metres. Look at the math there per carry. 18 post-contact meters, 4 tackle breaks. That's the big one there, isn't it? Alarm bells, a line break assist, 14 tackles. I'm going to throw one on you. Yeah, it's the award season for the Bulldogs. Well, the award seasons are going to be coming very soon as the season, unfortunately, wraps up. And I know we've got to hand our player of the year out, which will be announced next week after the Titans game. And you've been kept it open. The polls have been open the whole week so people can start to guess who's going to win it. However, there's the Bulldogs player of the year, the George Paprenis, and that gets done within the players and the squad voting for it. Jake Averillo, could he win it?
Yeah, he could.
I reckon him, Preston, and Waddell.
Yeah, Preston would definitely be.
What if I had Waddell in there? Because I'm thinking about all those little efforts and stuff, you know, pick up some points that from the players. I know Waddell was dropped for the season, but still played a lot more.
Quite often you get some left field choices or field choices that the fans won't necessarily make as well. So the players and the coaching staff and all that, the staff involved, see other things at training and that sort of thing as well that we don't get to see, and it gets highlighted with some of the winners of that award. So could be a little bit left of field in regards to something the fans won't see. Possibly for that award, I'd go Preston. He'd be, if I had to give a player of the year award out in any capacity for the Bulldogs, it would be Jacob Preston for mine.
So he could be Bulldogs player and rookie of the year at the club. Well, it'd have to.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm
not having an issue with that.
I'm thinking Preston as well, but I wouldn't be shocked, horror, or wouldn't be going, oh, Jack Averillo doesn't deserve it at all. Yeah. If he wins it all, it might be one of those tied things. We do have a bit of a trend giving out an award to a player who's leaving, Kieran Foran. But again, it'd be interesting to see how that goes. But Averillo's he's backed up a great year with another great year. A couple of great years, so he'll definitely be missed next season. And I think the Dolphins have got themselves a good one. And I think Averillo's going to enjoy experience under Wayne. And see where that takes him.
Oh, yeah, he'll have a great year at the Dolphins under Wayne Bennett. Okay, I'm just going to read out the top 5 at the moment with one round to go. Jacob Preston still first, 16 points. Averillo second, 15 points.
Maxie
King has dropped to third with 13 points. Fourth is tied with Dell and Carras at 11. Then Matty Burden on 10 points. So we'll see what happens this week.
All the players I mentioned.
Against the Titans. Okay, outside of that, I guess the biggest disappointing thing for me, Scotty, was Hayes Perrin back to fullback last week.
Yeah.
He's back to fullback this week as well against the Titans. We were thinking that the experiment was over, and possibly rightfully so. And yeah, disappointing not to see Hayes get that shot at centre, I thought, at the NRL level. I think that's probably his position going forward. But disappointing more so as well, as he shifted back to fullback, and straight away our numbers in defence didn't look right. Merely's first try was basically a 5-on-3. That's your fullback locating numbers at the back of the field for mine. You were saying off camera, Scotty, or off record, some of his decisions one-on-one in defence as well, when line breaks were made, was disappointing. I just don't feel like he's a fullback. He's a centre for mine, perhaps a 5'8", without a kicking game so far from what we've seen. But I think we would have been much more balanced to have Averillo at fullback and Perham in the centres.
Yeah, can't disagree with you at all. One thing I want to say about Hayes, he gets bashed pillar to post from a lot of, you know, social media fans and stuff, and they're entitled to have their opinion, especially when we had Jack Averillo play fullback, who's been doing a really good job at fullback. And then for him to be shifted for Hayes, like, thing, but hey, the effort's definitely there for Hayes. I can see the effort's there. It's just, he just looks like a man out of position, like trying his best he possibly can in a position he just can't play. And so I've got to say, every time I've seen Hayes play, the effort's always been there. So I don't want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never look at Hayes and think if he tried hard, because I think he tries incredibly hard in position he can't play. But yeah, Averillo, Hayes played a couple of games and Carpet Center, you said, against Souths, when you watched that game. I didn't watch that game. You said he was a class above, looked really good at center. So I was really excited when I saw him line up at center, thinking, you know, this is his position. So if he's going to, like, you know, get a position, I thought this would be his best one. And then with the departing players, well, potential departing players, which we'll talk about very soon, I reckon, and that he might have been able to drag a center starting spot next year with, you know, certain players coming in who might need to play cup for a little while. So that's what I was more excited about. He didn't get to play too much centre. And then you said, and I agreed with you, he looked at his best when he was playing, filling in that centre spot.
Yeah, he got back there late in the game and was part of a try, looked really classy.
I just don't understand when you have someone doing really well. It's like, you don't understand, if we had Blake Taff now, right, for example, in our squad, and Taff wasn't in our regular 17, or he just came in, you know, you shift to make him play fullback because Taff can't play anywhere else but fullback in the halves, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense for balance. This one didn't make any sense at all whatsoever. So don't know what Serato was thinking, or the entire coaching staff really at all.
And despite your joke earlier, Scotty, you can't really see him being there next year either. And obviously Averillo's heading off to the Dolphins, but... Yeah, I don't know. Surely you leave Averillo there to finish the year and get as many wins as you possibly can. And, if anything, like you said, put Perham at centre and give him a chance at cracking the starting side at centre for next year. But not to be. Let's move on to this week's game, last game of the season for both teams. Gold Coast Titans host Kittery Banks, our Bulldogs. 2 o'clock time slot again, Scotty. Just to read for the team, Hayes Perham is... the fullback. After that conversation on the wings, it's Blake Wilson and Josh Adakar in the centres. Jake Averillo will play his last game for the Bulldogs, and Paul Alamotti. In the halves, Matt Burden and Toby Sexton. Forwards, Thompson will start with Liam Knight, Reid Marnie's hooker, Kikau Waddell and King in the second row. The bench is Flanagan. Samuel Hughes looks like he'll get a crack. Curtis Morin and Jaden Ockenbaugh also in his farewell game. Reserves at this stage look like this: Skelton, Biondiotto, Tanner, Sutton, and Vitala Mariner. So I guess the big one there, Scotty, the big omission is Tevita Pengai Jr. It's been publicly said that he's out injured, but we don't know what the injury is. So he will not play in his final game of rugby league ever. He's going into retirement.
I like the question mark there at the end of that one. Bigger mission on size, but a better side with him not there. Mm. And just, he doesn't look interested. I think he said it himself, so not going to bash on him. Thought he might have wanted to do the trip to Gold Coast, but I reckon you'd find Fatale, Mariner and Sutton find their way in that side, I reckon, and I think they'll find their way in for Sam Hughes and Curtis Moran. It's just my tip early on in the week. But in saying that, if Curtis is going to be here next year and Sam Hughes is definitely going to be here next year, both of them re-signed for the following season, I wouldn't mind them coming in for Ockenbaugh and maybe Thompson even.
Yep, well, there you go.
Just might as well keep as many of the players. I don't know about Thompson, if he's staying or not. Reports that he's gone to Roosters now. Reports that he's going to stay as well. So we don't know where that's going to end up until maybe post-season.
Also linked to the Dragons as well. I suppose the big news out of this one, Scotty, is it will be only the second ever game controlled solely by a female referee in the NRL.
Yeah, we had to pull the short straw on that one, didn't we?
Casey Badger. I did see the Bulldogs send a congratulations statement out to Casey Badger, so maybe we're getting on the front foot, getting on side early, Scotty. Trying to get the calls our way.
Yeah.
with Casey. But yeah, joking aside, the Titans, I think they're going to be a scary proposition this week. They all want to send their fans off into the offseason on a high, but also the Bulldogs have conceded over 40 points in 6 of their past 9 games. We know how good the deck is up at Cbus Super Stadium, and the Titans play there every second week. And their team's full of players like AJ Brimson and Card Pereira, Jojo Fafita, forwards and the halves. Like, it's a scoring team, so it could get really scary for the Bulldogs if things don't go our way. Interesting stat here, though, Scotty. Bulldogs winger Adekar scored 9 tries in his past 5 games against the Titans. So if that can continue, who knows? Hopeful. It's a game that we can win. So hopeful that we're the team that sends the members and fans off into the off-season off the back of a win. But, I can see the Titans getting a lot of points in this one.
Yeah, I would say the Titans won't be scared if the Bulls scored 26 points. That's one thing. But also Toby Sexton, massive game for him this weekend, going up against his old club for the first time. And I'm sure if you asked him at the start of the year, would he be versing the Titans, or this situation would happen, he'd probably be laughing at you. But, a week's a long time. And so he's actually playing against his old club. So that'd be a big moment for him. It's always, players always get excited when they verse their old club. Even Corey Waddell, watching him celebrate a try, he's pretty good at celebrating a try. But I could tell he enjoyed that one a little bit more than he normally does when he scored one against Manly. So
hopeful but not confident to sum things up going into this week's game for mine. New South Wales Cup season ended officially on the weekend. Scotty lost to the Blacktown Workers 32-22, which gave us no chance whatsoever of making the 8. We did have to beat Blacktown Workers, but it didn't matter in the end as Newtown Jets put the Newcastle Knights to the sword. Penrith Panthers lost earlier in the week to give us some hope of being able to sneak into that top 5. We won't spend too much time on it, Scotty, but very disappointing second half to the season. I think we spoke about it quite a lot last week, so probably don't need to touch on it. We'll try to do the maths live because the Jets game versus the Knights was on at the same time as this one.
5-minute difference, wasn't it? Kickoff? Like, one of the games kicked off 11:35 and 11:30?
Pretty much.
They're running on against each other. I was just putting up the phone, and then, one person's phone was getting a better reception in the stadium, getting a live score, or using NRL.com and someone was in a NSWRL to get those scores. So it was definitely happening between us two. If we could stream it, we would try to stream it on the side while the game was running.
Just a happier news, the jersey flag. We made the finals, finished in second spot, as we said. That was decided a couple of weeks ago. We were sort of landlocked into second spot there.
Yeah, with the very minimum chance of first, and we had that loss that really a couple of weeks ago that derailed any chance, but second looked likely the whole time, so it was good
to win. Played at Belmore Sports Ground against the Manly Seagulls last week. It got a good win, 28 points to 6 after it being 6-0 at half time. Second week in a row where Carl Olaapu played in the halves. As we said, finishing second, that means we play the Cronulla Sharks this week. Now it's a top 5, guys, so that means we're playing third place Cronulla Sharks in the major qualifying final, I think it's called. So that means we will get a second bite at the cherry if we are unsuccessful at beating the Sharks.
And they've earned it.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at this, Scotty. The minor semi-final, or minor qualifying final, however you want to put it, is Penrith versus Parramatta. What a game that's going to be to knock the other one out of the season. Penrith versus Parramatta. The loser of that is gone. They pack their bags for Bali or Hawaii or Fiji, perhaps. The winner of that will play the loser of the Bulldog-Sharks game. And the winner of the Bulldog-Sharks game will go on to play the Roosters. And that will be a grand final qualifier.
I'll tell you what, though. the Panthers Eels, they hate each other at the age of 12, so.
Yeah, if not before, if not before.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, this week against the Sharks, if you go through the lineup, which we will quickly, it does seem like, without knowing anything on the inside, that the attention has turned to Jersey Flegg. It may have done so a little while ago. Get this for a lineup. At fullback, it's Joash Papali'i. His first choice fullback in New South Wales Cup at the start of this season.
Most of the year. He's been fantastic, too.
And doing really well. Jordy Mazzone on one wing. And William Alafalo on the other wing. In the centre is Denny Gabriel, who's got lots of raps on him, and Eli Clark, who's been killing it at New South Wales Cup level at different points this year. The halves, Carl Ola'apu, who's played NRL this year, of course.
Very good moments in Cup as well.
Yep. And Joseph O'Neill, who made his debut in New South Wales Cup this year and hasn't looked out of place. The little firecracker in the halves.
Good, I was going to say, you had to mention that. I was going to say firecracker if you didn't.
I'll tell you what, if he keeps on that projection, he might be following in the footsteps of maybe something similar to a Josh Reynolds. If he stays in the halves and has that sort of energy about him. Props, Jack Todd, and Lipoi Hopoi. Ruben Moyle at hooker. Harry Haynes in the second row. He's been playing a lot of centre in this World Cup at different times.
They played well.
Yep, Luke Smith and Damian Marshall at lock. He's played a little bit in this World Cup too.
He played last week.
Yep. And then on the bench, Jonah Glover, Timothy Johansson, Fabi Toyalo, and Lejon Vito. Now, in the reserves, there's a couple of others, but I just wanted to point out Jonathan Sua, who's been, feels like he's been scoring a double every week in the Jersey Flegg, and brought that form a little bit into the Swiss Cup. He's on the reserve list for Flegg, so does look like the focus may be on Jersey Flegg. And if we win that trophy, we also won the Harold Matts under 17s trophy. So I'd imagine if we do win the under 20s, 21s now, that will give something for Phil Gould to point to the fans and the members and the public that we're heading in the right direction with our juniors.
But then we'll point out saying this one's cut missed finals for the first time in friggin' since ever.
Does look like that's where the focus has gone though, doesn't it?
No, it does. And to me, Josh Papali'i. Like, you look at moments in New South Wales Cup, and obviously we haven't talked too much about it, but when you looked at moments of Josh Reynolds retiring, Fabi Brown being shafted out, but other moments you talk about is Joash Papali'i getting shifted to the bench, plus shifted to Jersey Flegg.
Yeah.
Those are moments where I felt like our season was slipping. There's decisions throughout the year and the coaching staff, and yes, it's a very sometimes hard being New South Wales Cup coach because you don't have the full reins of your team.
Yeah.
Like Khalid Rajab played a bit of top grade, played some fullback. If Cameron Serrano saw maybe you want to see him at fullback, give me some moments at fullback, can kind of stuff up your New South Wales Cup.
Yeah.
Because as much as you're wanting to win it, you're also there to provide for the NRL side. So if they see something in a player.
That's your main thing, yeah.
Yeah, but you see something in a player, that I can understand, you know, having some experience working in those pathways is that it does get frustrating because the head coach of that side just wants to win as well because they're just winners or they want it, like, you know, want to be winners. Then you got an order from coming above you saying that, hey, give this guy a crack at this position. But Josh Papali'i is playing so well. Like, why would you move him? You know what I mean? Like, he's playing so well and I don't think he really had a bad game. Then he, you know, being shifted to wing, center, interchange bench at moments in the game, playing hooker off the bench.
Definitely had quieter games than other games, but then look at his age and let him just develop.
Yeah. This was playing hooker off the bench at one a couple of times, I remember this year. It's kind of like, okay.
Cool. Let's see. Hopefully, it holds him in good stead going forward. If you do want to watch that game, 11 a.m. on Sunday at Jubilee Stadium, Bulldogs versus Sharks. Winner goes into a grand final qualifier. So, fingers crossed, we can do well in the final series in the Jersey Flegg and perhaps bring home a second trophy in season 2023.
Well said. Well, so what's else on the podcast tonight, Matthew?
Not too much more. Obviously, we don't want to get into what's going on with players off the training regimen and all that. We're not there every day for training, Scotty, so we can't talk about who's right, who's wrong, if the rumors are full of BS or if there's anything to it. I will say Serrano held himself, I thought, well today in his press conference. It's a bit longer than normal, obviously, with all the rumors and news in the media about that sort of stuff. But I thought he held himself really well. He's right. You don't do well at the NRL without having some, you know, really harsh standards. It's the elite level competition. So hopefully all that stuff can be sorted. And there is some concerns about one particular player's mental health state. So hopefully they are in an okay position. Not that we know anything about that. I suppose the only other thing really to touch on, Scott, unless you got anything else you want to bring up, is the farewell players. We didn't really get a farewell at the last home game of the season.
No, it's usually it's a video or some sort of tribute at full time. But we know, so what, Tevita Penko Jr. is one, Joe Knockenball, yep. Joe Cavarello, there's three. You could probably count Josh Reynolds. I thought there would have been a tribute for someone for Josh Reynolds. I know he had his Belmore moment, I get it, but he played top grade this year as well.
And they also did a tribute to him the first game back at Stadium Australia as well, before the game, with some highlights.
So, yeah, I just thought that usually with the farewell, like, I thought they might have invited him back to
the thing is, maybe, is there players that are not going to be there next year that don't know yet?
That's another thing.
Is that why we didn't get a farewell on the screen?
Still conversations are still being happening. It feels like every year later and later, doesn't players?
Yep,
like,
yep.
Formerly, there was times where people were signing around three, around four, and you're like, they're gone next year. You knew it from, or the speculation started by round 10, you knew they were out. Which was somewhat annoying. But we know obviously Jay Knockenball because of the Hull FC and Gus tweeting about it. So that's four. There's meant to be eight leaving. Braden Burns looks like he's accidentally made his confirmation of departure because he was one of the people being speculated in the training saga, I guess, or training.
He's actually somewhere along the lines, I don't know who actually named him as the player incorrectly.
Because he's still there. There's pictures of him there. But the way he worded it, saying he's still one more week to go, kind of gives you the hint that...
Yeah. It kind of makes sense for Burns to try to find another opportunity with the players that we've got coming in next year as well. And the players that we let go.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there anyone else...
Really, well, anything else would just be speculation, right? So yeah. Luke Thompson most likely will be headed off, and I'm sure there's going to be a couple of perhaps surprise ones there. But yeah, maybe it's not all decided, perhaps. But it was a noticeable omission on the weekend, wasn't it? The last home game of the year. No, thank you, farewell messages. Mm.
Yeah, and it's also the way they're speaking, and Willie Mason's speaking, part of the coaching staff of the Bulldogs, is there might be some players who are contracted next year who might be told more than welcome to look elsewhere to create that culture. So we might even start, like, we started the off-season with Aaron Schopp, for example.
Well,
and Josh Jackson Josh Jackson was leading into the off-season as a captain.
I guess the biggest question for the fans side of things is who is coming to replace them? Like, yeah, we know that Bronson Sherry's coming, Stephen Crichton's coming, Blake Taft's coming. There's rumours Siwa Takiaho's coming. That hasn't been confirmed.
Yeah, that's kind of died on its ass.
But that's only four players, and I don't think any of those four players will be replacing the players that we've just sort of talked about leaving.
Tevita Penga Jr. would be...
Yeah, not completely, at least, anyway.
No, I'm just saying, like, yeah, that one kind of died.
I think we'd like to hear who's in line, I suppose, as a fan. You want to sort of hear who's in line to replace those players, whoever those players are that are leaving, ones that we don't know, of course. Who are we looking at to bring in? Now, there was rumours Kurt Mann has done a medical with the Bulldogs.
Interesting, and then you got Jamin Salmon as well.
Yes.
From Penrith, sorry, that was coming from. So that's interesting. And then we've got other rumors that some contracted players obviously leaving as well. So if we meant to have like this eight number that keeps being tossed around, plus, I don't know if these players are counting the eight, or I don't even know if that counts the players who departed midway through the year. The two players who left midway through the year, because they definitely get counted as the farewell list at the end of the season. So, going to be interesting times. Like November, it could be one of those things. Where, like I said, Aaron Schopp was with us at the start of the year. I thought he was going to be starting centre, and then he's starting at Gold Coast. So it could be one of those moments. Got to be careful.
I feel like he's had a pretty disappointing year, Aaron Schopp.
Yeah, he started well, though, I thought.
Yeah.
But just a few injuries. And
when the year started, I was pretty disappointed that he left. And I've seen some of his performances more recent time and think, okay, maybe there's a reason.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. We're going to be, if Kevin Serrano is as harsh as a trainer or harsh taskmaster, which doesn't surprise me. He comes from Penrith. Penrith are apparently pretty hard out there. They do some crazy things in the off-season as well, particularly they highlight. If that's the case, got to make sure the right players who want or are not afraid to get their hands dirty and push themselves in that is something. Yeah. It's definitely, it's speculation, but definitely looks like Cameron Serrato is a tough
I suppose on that point, we have signed Crichton, premiership winner, Salmon, premiership winner, Takiaho, if that gets confirmed, he's a premiership winner. So it does seem like so far we're getting the players that
been there, done it.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, the players who haven't been there, done it, need to want to do it.
Yeah.
Or want to learn. And it's make sure we get the right players that can Crichton make, like a Blake Wilson type. And I'm not saying Blake Wilson's one of the people not enjoying training, but can he make a Blake Wilson train like that constantly and consistently? Is Crichton got that in him to be the influencer in the backs?
There's questions over Crichton as well. Is he playing fullback? When he was originally signed, the talk was harsh. It was pretty hard that was going to be the case. There's still sections saying that will be the case. He'll be given first crack. There's others saying that Taff should be there and Crichton should be at centre. So even him in himself, it's not 100% at this stage, I don't think, where he will play. Very interesting. Now, there is one thing I wanted to... wasn't planning on finishing the podcast on this, but it's the way the conversation naturally flowed tonight, Scotty. Reed Marnie, I want to speak about.
Yep.
Because I've come to a conclusion, Scotty. I want to get your thoughts on it. And just for the listeners, I haven't prepped you about this, so this will be.
No idea. This will be where you're going with this. So
this will be on the spot. Reed Marnie, to me, I'm starting to feel like he's almost a great player, almost a State of Origin player, but not quite. Now, what I mean by that is, he's no try on the weekend. Gets into position. Goes for the line, looks like something Harry Grant would do, but 10 centimetres away from the off the ground, drops the ball.
Mm-hmm.
How many times this season has he been almost close to pulling off something amazing and just not quite there?
Fine-tuning, you're saying? There's a little bit of fine-tuning.
I'm saying he's the Wish version of Harry Grant.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's a 40-20 kick that looks like, it's perfectly aimed, it's going right for the 40-20 and it bounces the wrong direction. Or he's been in a lot of effort areas this year, the Larks player chasing back to try to push someone over the sideline and just falling over or collapsing on top of a player or whatever. But it just seems like he almost does really great things all the time.
Yeah, I feel like the poor bugger is probably putting too much. He'd be a better player if he did less. Sometimes more is less, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But saying the way the year, I think he's taken it very personal that some of the year has been on him, which is very harsh, and trying to be captain and lead by example. But unfortunately, I think it's adding to those almost moments, because I actually think that there was a moment against Manly earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he actually scored the try, but there's just been moments where coming close to the line and yeah, doing something, or I think he's mucked up a few like scoots out of the half where you can see what he's trying to do. Like obviously scoot, but like, you know, running at the offside players, and he's dropped the ball before he's made any contact with offside players and stuff. So it doesn't, or before they make any impact in the play, because you've got to pick up the ball first, secure that before you can.
Just had a quick look. He's actually played more NRL seasons than I thought. He's actually played, this is his sixth season. I was going to say he's only 25 as well. So maybe the bright side of being so close to almost pulling off all those great things is the fact that he's got the better half of his career to come. Like that stuff will be fine too. And he will get there and be a really first class hooker. But you're right in regards to the, maybe he's trying too hard, because I feel like Burton was like that as well at times this season.
But Burton,
his kick for touch on the weekend that failed to find touch off a penalty. I think that's more him just trying to get an extra 10 metres out of his kick because we need it.
Yeah. You know,
that type of thing. And he's done it a couple of times this year. Perhaps he doesn't do that in a team that's got a little bit more backbone in defence and is playing a bit better, getting some better results.
But should they be captain? Or should we be trying to sign someone or look for some? I know it's, you don't like to sign people to come to captain, but Rigg just did.
Who else do you put into captaincy? Like that's
the but also I don't want to hinder both them too, because it looks like Burton's fallen off a real cliff this season. I just hopefully it's just one of those years that you look back and just go, that was just a, you know, in his career, and hopefully when he's retired that in his he can say he had a great career, but that year was just not a good year for him. But
yeah, I do feel there's a bit too much attention to that. It's probably a little bit over exaggerated a bit too.
What is season?
Yeah, Burden.
Yeah, okay. No, I was just thinking, I hope like back in the future that he looks at this year going, oh, that was a rubbish year, but all these great years to still come and moments like this.
I guess that's the hope for the whole team at the moment, isn't it? If we look at this year, at the end of next year, and go, man, it sucked that we had to have that year again, or a year like that again, but we see real growth and development next year.
Mm.
And we need to go through that to get the players that we've got in 2024 and the side that we got and the culture and the standards that we got in 2024. Then it was all worth it, you know? And that's kind of what we're hoping for as a whole group, aren't we?
Mm. Correct. You are correct, yes. That's what we're hoping for. you threw me off with Reed, I'll tell you that much.
It was just those that know me, sometimes I get random thoughts about all sorts of things, but rugby league in particular, and that came through my head last night when I was watching the mini backs, Scotty.
Fair enough. Doing some research.
All right, we'll leave it at that. We've got one game left, so we'll definitely be back next week to talk about that. The rumours are that once that game's over, we might find out more about who's leaving. So we might have that to talk about, and then from there we'll have some episodes throughout the off-season as well.
And Jersey Flag.
And yes, we'll obviously touch base on how the Jersey Flag boys go on Sunday against the Cronulla Sharks. But until then, hopefully we finish the season with a win in the NRL. And good luck to the Jersey Flag side on getting through to that grand final qualifier. If not, they'll go to a semi-final next week.